Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
What's up, everybody? This is Roz. Unfortunately, Witz will not be in attendance today. He is still traveling back from the great Fort Lauderdale. He had a great weekend, met some nice, lovely people, jumped off some roofs into some pools. So he'll tell us more about his adventure when he gets back. But luckily, this week I will not be alone. We're bringing back NCAA expert Mike Strafase. How about you say hello to everybody, Mike?
How's it going? Very happy to be here for the show. I mean, I'll be honest, this is my favorite time of the year. Not much of a birthday guy, so I always view March Madness as basically my birthday.
That is the absolute truth. So we're super excited to have you here because today we're going to bring you all the recaps of the games that happened and then let you know what's going to go on this Saturday as we got all the games packed for you. So we're going to start off with the top. We understand that a bunch of games happened yesterday, on Thursday, and not a lot of upsets occurred. We had the 11 seed Xavier beat Maryland and we had Minnesota go down to Middle Tennessee. They would say it's a lot of chalk game right now, but we're going to start with the number ones just because I want to get into this a little bit about the struggle that some of them had. So Villanova and Gonzaga both played, and it was very interesting if you were watching those games, and I'm assuming most of you weren't watching those games because nobody usually pays attention to the 116. Gonzaga didn't take their first lead till 1 minute left in the first half, and same was for Villanova, who didn't take their first lead until about 2:30, 2:40 left in the first half. So, Mike, what I'm really curious about here is, are these teams in danger? And why I think this is important for me and you is because Villanova is playing Wisconsin, Gonzaga is playing Northwestern, and although on the first day of the tournament the Big Ten had the most losses of any conferences, I still think they really came out and showed that they were a power conference. We saw the Purdue win, we saw the Wisconsin win, we saw the Northwestern win. So let's recap real quickly that Wisconsin-Virginia Tech game. What were you feeling when you were watching that game, and are you a little confident that Wisconsin can show a little something to Villanova?
You know, I was really confident coming into the tournament that Wisconsin was going to do very well because I love Bronson Canyon as a tournament guy, Nigel Hayes, Zach Showalter. They have all this tournament experience. But what I watched in that game is their defense was lacking against Virginia Tech. And honestly, they basically just got bailed out by, I think, Bronson Canyon had 8 threes in that game. So, great win for them. But they have to play back to their old style of slow it down and just play great offense and defense to win instead of Bronson Canyon having 8 threes in the game.
Absolutely. And I kind of got that opinion too. I think Virginia Tech, a very good scoring team, so that game was going to be a little bit higher. I know most people would probably have told you to take the under of that game, but Virginia Tech, as we've seen throughout the ACC conference play, they know how to score points. And this Wisconsin team, like you mentioned, is not susceptible to not scoring points. I think, like you said, Bronson Koenig, Showalter, even Hayes can pop out and hit a three here and there. I think this Wisconsin team was able to combat that, and it'll be interesting to see what they do against Villanova. Like I said, Villanova struggled a little bit in the first half, but they really got it going. I know my friend sitting to my left here, Mike, bet on their second half line, which was minus 14, pretty much a lock of that Thursday. He was able to pull that off as they won by more than 20. Now, what do you think about, is it just a classic one seed coming in like, oh, were the big man on campus, or are you starting to see maybe 16 seeds getting a little more powerful, Mike?
I always think both that and in the Gonzaga game. You see this all the time. You know, you just come into a tournament game, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, you don't really fully know what to expect. You know, both teams have been there and they come back to the national championship, but it's hard to go out there, especially when people are telling you constantly that you'll never lose. You have like 99.9% chance of winning. A couple shots don't go in. The other team, you know, they think they can win and they'll hit a couple shots, and especially when these games get tight like this, it's always low scoring. And so that's because basically you're just missing shots ultimately. And then you start to really feel it and play a lot harder. And when you play harder, you will make more shots. I think that's just what always happens in the second half of these games.
Absolutely. And I'm excited. So this Wisconsin-Nova game is going to be at 2:40. And again, we didn't get to talk after the Selection Sunday, but I thought the 8 seed for Wisconsin was pretty low, especially with Minnesota getting a 5 and Maryland getting a 6 and Wisconsin finishing higher or performing better in the Big Ten champion, your conference tournament, pardon me. So, this game, 2:40, later today, who do you have winning? And give me just a quick what understanding of how you got to that.
Honestly, I think it's going to be a semi-tight game. I like Villanova by 7, sort of 2-3-point game going in the last 2-3 minutes, kind of pulling away. Because I think end up what's going to happen is Wisconsin's inability to run offense at the end of a game. You know, at the beginning of the game, they'll throw it down to Happ. They'll throw it down to Hayes. But then at the end, it's really just going to be almost – it's weird to say it, but Wisconsin does a lot of one-on-one ball right now. And Villanova's just sort of too good for that. But we will see what happens. I wouldn't be totally shocked if Wisconsin won.
Absolutely. So Wisconsin right now is a 5.5 underdog. I'm going to tell you to go with Villanova here. I think you take the points. They're a more athletic and quick team. I think they're going to be able to run Wisconsin off the ball. But that's enough for that one seed. We're going to take it back to, like I said, Gonzaga-Northwestern. The Gonzaga game, a little bit of nerves. They're number one again. I was joking the entire time that if Gonzaga happened to be the first number one seed to lose to a 16 seed, I don't think any mid-major would ever get a one seed again. But they pulled it off. We got the more important game, the Northwestern game, that came down to a very miraculous situation. You rarely see a foul such as what occurred at the end of the game that ultimately led to this Northwestern win. Mike, give us a little bit about this Northwestern game, and did they prove themselves as a team worthy of this NCAA tournament?
Oh, I mean, they're definitely worthy of the NCAA tournament. I mean, that was one heck of a game to watch, especially at the end. It went back and forth, four lead changes in the last minute and a half, probably. Unfortunately, that Vandy, Fishers, Davis, boneheaded play, fouled when he did not need to basically give Northwestern the win. But for Northwestern going against Gonzaga, they're a little outmatched physically, to be honest. And you say that, you know, a little weird Big Ten team being way out, you know, the less athletic team against.
They're also a little smaller, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, they're definitely smaller. They, Karnowski down in the post could definitely exploit them. But at the same time, I mean, I love McIntosh as the Northwestern point guard. I really like when he sort of has the ball in his hands for a lot of the time. And he's dribbling around, dishing out, and getting to the rim.
We didn't see that from Melo Trimble yesterday. A lot more impressive McIntosh.
No,
right?
That was the biggest disappointment of the tournament.
And we'll get to that. But we like the way McIntosh played yesterday opposed to Melo Trimble. So you're thinking that Northwestern, they're going to give up a fight.
I think it'll be a fight. You know, whether it's just thinking about it in a way that Gonzaga's never actually been to a Final Four, that sort of gives me a little more hope for Northwestern. But I always like to think of things as just a game, you know, one game at a time here. And I don't think Northwestern is quite good enough to win it. But Gonzaga's lost to worse teams before in the tournament.
Very true. And that game is right after the Wisconsin-Villanova game. There's a kind of a break, actually, in between. It'll be 5:15 Eastern time on earlier or later today. So, in my opinion, it's a 10.5-point spread in favor of Gonzaga, obviously. I'm going to tell you, I think you hit Northwestern
here.
Take
the points.
Yeah, take the points. Northwestern, 10.5. This NCAA tournament, as we've seen so far, is the underdog teams are really coming
underdogs
through.
Underdogs are batting about 68-70% right now.
So I would tell you to continue doing that. I think that Gonzaga is going to ultimately pull this one out, but I think Northwestern's going to give their fans, their well-deserved fans, by the way, and me and Mike are from the Chicagoland area, so we know some well-deserved fans. I think the opportunity is going to be there, and I believe that Northwestern's going to fight till the bitter end, and Gonzaga will pull it off, but it'll be triumphant. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have this segment. We'll be back after the break. Remember, this is the Sporting Edge at LibertyTalk.fm, and this is Mike and Roz right now. What's up, everybody? We're back here at the Sporting Edge. This is Roz and Mike today. No wits as he's in Florida. And Mike, it's actually, we survived, Mike. We just got past the hump of St. Patrick's Day, me and Mike here at the University of Dayton. I'm back in Dayton, everybody. Just so you know, I'm not traveling across the country anymore. I'm back in Dayton. We just celebrated St. Patrick's Day yesterday. We have survived. Our livers are going to be okay, everyone. And it's on to more college basketball. We were able to keep tabs. Don't worry. We understood what was going on during the day. But St. Patrick's Day is a time-honored tradition here at the University of Dayton. We celebrate amongst all of our peers and everything. So it was a very fun day. We're here. We wanted to bring you the news. We wanted to bring you sports. And we're coming back with some more NCAA stuff. So here we go. I wanted to bring up the Notre Dame-West Virginia matchup that's happening. They're the first game today at 12:10. So you'll have time after the show. Take a shower maybe, eat some food, relax. You'll be back in time for the game. But I'm a little disappointed, Mike, and I'll explain here in a second. So I think I'm a savant when it comes to picking games. I went 13-16 my first day, and that's the issue. I wanted to go 16-16. And that Bucknell-West Virginia game, really a great matchup on both ends. I think both of them really pushed each other to the limits. We saw the score finish 86-80. I think Bucknell was hanging around a long time. They fought back, cut it to three here and there. They had a lead early in the game. This West Virginia team, they turned the switch on. They played really well. But as I've been saying on shows past, Mike, and you haven't been here, I hate the Big 12. I apologize to Bill Self and other people who might listen to this show. But I don't like the Big 12. I don't like the style in which they play. And I thought Bucknell was going to take it, and that was one of my upset picks. So what did you take away from West Virginia? Because, Mike, I understand that you're a West Virginia fan.
Yeah, I think West Virginia is really fun to watch. They press you and trap you for all 40 minutes of the game, which is just a lot of fun. It gets up and down a little bit if teams attack it well. Basically, in that game, Bucknell is the better offensive team, but West Virginia stole about 12 possessions, I'd say, in that game, and they were able to win by just, they had probably four pick sixes all in the backcourt. And just if you get 12 more possessions than the other team, you know, you don't have to be that good on offense, and that's just what happened to Bucknell.
Absolutely, and it was a heartbreaker. I think Bucknell was a very interesting team. I was hoping to see them potentially move on and play this Notre Dame team, which we're going to talk about now. Now, Notre Dame, they didn't win that game. I know that in your bracket it says Notre Dame's on to the next round.
Four missed threes by Princeton in the last 40 seconds.
Four open missed threes. Let's put it at that. Princeton, they fought hard, and I love the Ivy League in the NCAA tournament. I mean, they were showing a stat. Princeton's the first Ivy League team that was ranked a 12 seed to lose in the last four times it's occurred.
You remember that Cornell team maybe 5 years ago?
Absolutely.
Sweet 16?
So the Ivy League comes, they're smart, and they're ready to fight. So that game, very fun. It was the first game of the day. So it was really intriguing, and it was fun to get March Madness started that way. And maybe a buzzer beater would have been nice. I mean, I have Notre Dame in my Sweet 16. So in bracket terms, it was a good thing for me that they pulled that one off. But Mike, What happened there? Give me a little bit of a synopsis on your end, what you felt about it. I mean, that was a fun game for me and you to start watching.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun to watch that game. The problem is with some of these sort of less athletic teams like Princeton going against Notre Dame, at the end of the game, you know, they were down one, down two, and instead of just getting in the rim like what you'd want to do in those situations, maybe get fouled and get some free throws, they weren't able to do it, and they just basically stopped trying, and three after three after three, and when you do that, you know, it's almost luck or random if you're going to hit them.
Absolutely. And so far, me and Mike are actually two for two in picking the same bets. Usually, you hear me and Witz go back and forth bantering at one another. I clearly performed better during the NFL playoffs than he did, but we're going to see what Mike says here. You know he likes West Virginia. You know how much I don't like the Big 12. So the point spread is -2.5 in favor of West Virginia. I would tell you to go out and take Notre Dame in this game. I think Notre Dame's going to pull this one off. I think West Virginia is not going to take or steal the ball as frequently as they did in the past game. I think Notre Dame's going to come out there, score all the points they need to score on the possessions that are important. I think Notre Dame learned their lesson from Princeton, kind of a slap to the face in a little bit. So I'm going to tell you to take Notre Dame in this situation. I think Notre Dame's going to come out hot. What do you think?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'd probably say take either take Notre Dame or don't stay away from this game, because the teams that West Virginia can beat are teams with not great guard play or ball handlers and passers all the way around, because they just press you the whole time. And Notre Dame basically has five skilled players on the court at all times, so that makes it semi-difficult to trap when those guys are all good at passing and not turning the ball over.
Absolutely. So me and Mike pretty much we're on the same page. We're 3-for-3 right now. We're coming up next with this next set of games. If you stayed up late Thursday night, then you saw Florida State versus Florida Gulf Coast, a game of two very similar teams, very athletic teams. Florida State was able to take the win in that one. Not a game I was super intrigued with. I mean, the athletes on Florida State are second to none. They're super athletic. The height on that team is great.
Crazy athletic.
Crazy athletic. But Florida Gulf Coast, they can fly as well. So, Mike, I know you watched a lot of that game. What are you thinking about either of these teams, and how about that outcome?
They were the same team. One is just from the ACC, and one is not from the ACC in terms of they are more athletic. I think Florida State is the most athletic team in the country. Their free throws are straight up horrendous. I don't know. I'm pretty sure they're shooting as a team about 67%, which it's going to be so hard to make a run because, one, you let teams stay in the game like they did last night.
Yep.
And then also, you can't come back. There's really it's impossible to win games without shooting free throws. Unless you were substantially better than the other team. And from now on, at this point, they won't be better than the other teams.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing because it brings up the game that hurt me and you a little bit last night. I lost my first Sweet 16 team. We lost Maryland last night, a team that I've been hyping up a lot. I love their young play. We love Mello Trimble here at the show. Tough loss.
Wasn't Mello time yesterday.
Was not Mello time. Wasn't getting to the rim. I mean, Mike's going to talk about that when he brings up the game. But Xavier won. They were the better team that day, winning by 11. And now they have the opportunity to face this Florida State team, which Mike was saying that I think they actually have an opportunity to beat this Florida State team. I just don't see going very far in this tournament. That's why I didn't have them advancing. I had Maryland in my Sweet 16. But tell me a little bit about that Xavier game and Maryland Xavier versus Maryland game. Because me and you both picked Maryland. We both bet on Maryland. So give us a little.
I'd say it's two things. One is Mello Trimble did not perform the way we expected him to. Really like when he is basically just getting to the rim at will. And I truly believe he has the ability to do that at all times. And, you know, Xavier kind of messed him up a little bit with the zone. But they still played plenty of man-to-man. And he still almost refused to go down into the paint there. And then also Trayvon Blewett of Xavier, I think he started 6-for-6 in the second half, and you dropped 20 points in the second half. You know, Maryland even had a 5-point lead like 3 minutes into the second half, but when a guy's that hot, and I feel like Xavier's kind of, you know, especially coming in their next game, is if Trayvon Blewett, he is their best player, and if he's hitting, you always got a shot.
Yeah, Blewett, for some reason, has been the second half player of the year. I mean, not in terms of season, just second half of games. He didn't show up in the Big East Conference tournament, but in the second half, all of a sudden, boom, he's shooting again, 6-of-6.
And that's probably the only reason they got in the tournament anyways, because of his second half shooting in the first two rounds of that tournament.
Absolutely, and it's been crazy. It was hard for me and Surface to watch that all come down. But there's a game now. We got Xavier, Florida State. They're at 6-10 tonight. Florida State -6. And, Mike, I just don't have the love for the Big East. I don't think the Xavier team is as talented or athletic, and I think they can get run off. I understand the issues with free throws, but -6, I really feel that Florida State can cover that line, and I'm going to take that. I mean, we might differ here.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, I'd call it as a no bet, because I think a no bet is a safe bet.
He doesn't actually mean that. Let's be honest here.
And just because I don't like those free throws at the end. I mean, they're two times more athletic than
Xavier.
And, you know, the inside play of Xavier is also very suspect. And, you know, Florida State is littered with 7-foot, 6'11". I think they have a 7-foot and a 7'4 guy. So I think they can get eaten up there. And in transition, they won't be able to get back. But just the free throws, I mean, because even if they're up 10, then, you know, they miss a couple.
And it's back to a game.
Yeah, you know, it's 4 right at the last second, and they still win, but you don't cover.
Absolutely. So we're a little split on that one. Mike wouldn't put his money on that line for that game, so that's totally understandable. We're going to come back after the break. We're going to bring you more recap. It's March Madness season. I know that we've got a lot of NFL free agency going on as well. We're going to get to the Masters, which are coming up soon, but we're going to keep going with the NCAA. Thank you guys for tuning into the show at LibertyTalk.fm. This is Sporting Edge, usually with Wits and Roz, but it's Roz and Mike, and we'll be back after the break.
Want What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
What's up, everybody? We're back here. Third segment here of the Sporting Edge. It's been fun. It's been me and Mike today. It was an exciting week. I had to go home to Chicago, do some interviews. This is not my only job, unfortunately. I wish I could be your host every single day, but we only do once a week, so I do need to get a real job. So I'm in Chicago. I met this guy, actually, in the airplane. Talked to him for the entire plane ride. He was a fantastic man. And he was on the discussion of kind of living out your 20s, figuring it out, Mike. And me and you are about to enter that stage where we're going to figure that out. And
if he has any answers, he can let me know.
No, exactly. So I got a little bit of an answer. And this doesn't go for people only in their 20s. I want all my listeners to know that I appreciate every age. Although I call Tom Brady old, I do apologize because he's the most gifted quarterback we've seen in a long time. So just for instance, when we think about traveling, we always think about traveling to Europe. We always think about traveling to maybe Mexico, Punta Cana, a little bit of go back to Florida for Key West, maybe. We wanted those tropical excursions. But what I was told on this plane ride is Peru. Peru in South America is a very nice location to go after. And I was told that you spend 3 weeks there. I've learned that the Peruvian dollar, which is, that's not what it's called. I just unfortunately forgot the name right now. It's 3-1. So we go in there. They got tons of casinos, Mike, so you're going to like this. You go in there with $100, you're coming out with $300. You're just living the life there. In the clubs, they love you. They love Americans a little bit down there. I mean, you got to culturalize yourself. You can't just come in there being like, I am American and I'm better than you. You can't do that.
Yeah, anywhere. I feel bad for all our Peruvian listeners, but
no.
3 weeks in Peru, you're going to have to give me a lot of cash to be doing that.
I heard it's – but what I was learned from on the plane ride is that it's totally doable. And my man that I met on the plane ride actually met his wife in Peru doing that excursion, and they have a 2-year-old now. So they live in St. Augustine, Florida. He was a fantastic person to talk to, had a great time, and we do appreciate Peru. I know Mike has
also, side note, you can't trust anyone that talks to you on a plane. Planes you're supposed to keep to yourself and not look or talk to anybody.
See, Mike's a little bit of a harder person than I am. I'm a very social being. When I'm out and about, if I see you, I would like to talk to you. In fact, I met a man from Indianapolis who actually listened to the show. This was the first time I've ever had like a little star moment where I was like, oh, you kind of actually hear my voice and know who I am. I probably don't look anything like I talk. So this is pretty cool. But I'm a plane guy. Mike's not so much a plane guy. But enough about the plane. We're getting back to college basketball. We got some more games to break down. And this is an interesting matchup, I believe, because I did set this up. And I can't call it an upset, Mike, because we're talking about Middle Tennessee and Minnesota here. Middle Tennessee was favorite by 2 points. They won the game outright. They dominated. I know you have questions about it because Mason didn't play his best for Minnesota, but tell the listeners, tell the fans at Sporting Edge how you felt about that Minnesota game, because I know you bet it, and I was on the other end of it, actually.
Going into it, I thought Mason was going to get their point guard, first team All Big Ten point guard.
First team.
Was going to get straight to the rim. He does him all game, and you know what? I was thinking his big issue, so his underlying thing is the Big Ten teams, no one plays his own besides a little Iowa. And you come and play Middle Tennessee State, and they run zone for 40 minutes. And, you know, we don't really know how to attack it from the Big Ten. And, you know, I don't know if that was part of it or just – honestly, Middle Tennessee State seemed a little more athletic. Physically stronger was Minnesota, but then foul trouble. Reggie Lynch was dominating that game early, but then got into those – 3 fouls, 4 fouls, and that most boneheaded foul when you're on the ground. Just
frustration. That was rough to watch. That's like kind of me and you when we're just like bored in the house and we're mad at each other. I might throw a little slap here or there.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
That's a foul, though. That's called a foul.
That is a foul.
If there was a ref in the living room, that's a foul. So it was tough. I loved it because I picked Middle Tennessee. And in fact, I have Middle Tennessee in my Sweet 16. And the reason I have this and why I'm very excited to talk about it is I think Middle Tennessee actually reminds me a little bit of those early VCU teams, those early Butler teams, early Wichita State teams.
They're definitely more VCU. They are highly athletic, exactly, up and down the court. And honestly, they're just as athletic as the power conference teams are going to play, and people don't really realize that going into it.
Absolutely, and that's why – so they got that win against Michigan State last year. It was very nice. It was very upsetting to me because I stopped paying attention to the March Madness because Michigan State was my champion last year. But I think this Middle Tennessee, they learned about winning. They learned about the upset. I know they lost their next game. So this one wasn't an upset for them.
That came down to the wire, though, too.
I know. It did, but – this game didn't – they weren't celebrating like they did when they beat Michigan State. They knew. They have a game. They play this Butler team.
Also, Minnesota was not Michigan State from last year, who everyone thought was the best team in the country.
No, absolutely. So they're playing this Butler team. So we're going to talk about Butler-Winthrop, which just wasn't a game. I mean, both these games, in hindsight, just weren't really a game. The lead was held for the majority of the game, and it was a double-digit finish on both ends. Butler, though, like, if you watch that game, I don't know what you were doing. There was a bunch of other fantastic games going on. They were the four. They beat Winthrop. I thought Winthrop could give them a little bit of a challenge. I don't really like Butler. I don't think they're that good. So I'm going to pick Middle Tennessee here in a second. But what do you think about that Butler-Winthrop game other than what I just said?
I mean, that was a perfect Butler game. They slow it – I mean, honestly, they slow it down. They make the other team so hard for them to run their offense. And they basically just – if you make a second of a mistake on defense – Butler will exploit it. You know, they're not probably good enough to, you know, if you play perfect defense, Butler won't score. But as soon as you get out of position for half a second, you know, they'll exploit that.
I know. The whole Butler winning in that style is not common. And I don't project it happening again. So this is Mike. Here we go. We got that Middle Tennessee Butler matchup. What are we thinking? How are we feeling? I can tell you right now, the line is in Butler's favor by only 4 points. So here's where it's interesting, because I'm choosing Middle Tennessee plus four here. But I think you didn't really like Middle Tennessee yesterday, but maybe that's Minnesota prejudice, or not prejudice, bias. We're going to take the prejudice word out of there. Bias, what do you think about this game? 4 point spread.
I'm taking Butler straight up.
All right, we're different now, everybody. He's taking Butler.
I just think Middle Tennessee won't be able to win another game. Butler plays so soundly on both ends of the floor. And they have two, you know, senior point guards, been around the tournament a couple times, Tyler Lewis. And I just think, you know, it's not the same
NC
team.
NC State transfer, that guy.
McDonald's All-American.
I think I can outplay Tyler Lewis.
Even though he was McDonald's All-American, you barely played in high school.
I think I can outplay, I could shoot better than him. That's what I'm going to say. I can't pass like
him. Maybe in an open gym, but when you have 6-7 guys running at you, I like his chances on the court.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to give that. So the only reason behind Mike taking them is because Tyler Lewis can beat me. We're going to put that here first. You heard it here first that Butler's winning because they can outplay myself on a basketball court.
So, I will say, though, in that Middle Tennessee State, they showed me a lot when Minnesota went on a run, cut it to four, and with 5 minutes left in the game, and Reggie Upshaw scores the next 9 points in like a minute span.
That was amazing.
That's the difference between, you know, a sort of Cinderella underdog team and just being legitimately good.
Exactly.
Is when you can take that run from the other team, because this entire tournament in college basketball itself is about runs.
Absolutely.
You know, who can have the bigger runs, and take someone teams throws a run at you, think 10-0 run, and you throw your own 9-0 run by yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you win games in this tournament.
Absolutely. And so we got that matchup down pat. We'll see how that goes. I love Middle Tennessee. I hope you guys do too. But our next matchup we want to bring up is just kind of a simple, again, these two games weren't too exciting. This game is later tonight at 7:45, so Arizona's probably a little bit happier about this since they were playing at 9:40 on Eastern time zone. A couple days ago on Thursday.
But that's like o'clock.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, you're right. I messed
that
one.
That's the East Coast bias there. Everyone thinking that you play at 10 o'clock at night on the West Coast.
Being on the East Coast, I just think the time zones are the same all around. I think that everyone has to suffer like I do and watch everything really late. So we're going to talk about St. Mary's, cruise past VCU, Arizona, cruise past North Dakota. But I want to bring up that North Dakota actually kind of made it a game in the second half, and I know you were watching that as well. I was watching the St. Mary's game while you were on your Purdue game, which I'm very excited to talk to Mike about later because I've explained it. You've heard it here when he was here. Purdue is Mike's team. And, hey, Painter, listen to me. This is your next assistant coach. Right here.
Painter, I've been emailing you all my scouting reports. The Iowa State ones I did last night and already sent in, so hopefully you've been looking at it.
You can't, Dave, don't cheat yet. We gotta save the anticipation for the listeners. But here, we're talking about Arizona. What did you think about that North Dakota game? Just kind of, you thought it was kind of a blow-off game. It was almost like a 1-16 in a
sense. Yeah, you know, it's that same thing. You know, Arizona did come out hot. And, you know, you should, some of these games, you get in the big lead and you're playing North Dakota. I mean, honestly, half those guys from Arizona with that education don't even know where North Dakota is.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
And, you just kind of get a little lax in the second half, and teams are good enough to just hit shots. And because all these teams that are actually in the tournament, they've won a lot of games. And I think just winning games is like a huge thing.
Yeah.
So they can play. So it's just, you know, they got a little lax, cut single digits, maybe 10 minutes left, and Arizona came back on top.
Absolutely. So we got to ask you quickly, are you taking Arizona or St. Mary's? It's really just kind of a quick game. Arizona is a 4-point favorite. You have to take Arizona. I don't think St. Mary's is that good. They played in the WCC. So who you pick?
Arizona. They're too athletic for St. Mary's. But St. Mary's, they move that ball. They are popping quick on those passes.
They can move that ball, but this is the lock of today. If you don't take this Arizona game, then I don't know who you are. I don't know why you're listening to the show. The fact that they're -4 is something you got to take. But that's all the time we have this segment, everybody. I enjoy the fact that you're listening here at the Sporting Edge. We are at libertytalk.fm if you want the rest of our podcast. Also, feel free to tweet us at RozForRoz or at ZandyBoy13. We'll be back after the break, everybody. Have a good one. What's up? What's up, everybody? We're back here for the last segment of the Sporting Edge this week. We've been all college basketball. As I promised, though, we will get back to other stuff. I'm very excited about the Masters. Me and Xander are going to be able to break that down, or Wits, as you guys know him. We're actually going to have Mike back on the show next week as well, as it's all college basketball for this whole entire month. But for right now, we're going to come back into college basketball. We've got two more games to bring up for this day, so you guys can understand who we think you should pick and which route we're suggesting you go on. We're going to talk about this Florida-Virginia matchup, as well as talking about their games. And Mike, you were in class for a little while, but I had to bear watching this Virginia game earlier. So Virginia played, who were they? They played UNCW, University of North Carolina, Wilmington. Perfect. Look at that. I was even able to figure that out. So they played each other. It was a 5-12. Kind of a 5-12 where you thought UNCW was going to pull this one off. In fact, they were up 15 points in the first half. And the thing we traditionally know about this Virginia team is that their defense doesn't allow teams to score and put up those kind of leads on them. But that wasn't the case on Thursday. So Virginia was able to pull it out. I think they really found their groove with Parentes and Shayok, who had his career-high game.
23 points coming. Needed every one of them.
He absolutely needed every one of them. And the best part about this game, and it's going to lead into one of our favorite conversations of the day when we start talking about Purdue, is Mike really wished that Purdue got to play this Virginia team. So, Mike, what do you think? You caught the end of this Virginia game. What do you think about this Virginia team and that game you watched?
So Virginia, obviously, straight up their defense is par none, one of the best in the country. But their offense is absolutely atrocious. You would think that, they don't score a lot of points because they just slow it down and play good offense. You know, they take the open shot when they have it. No, they, weirdly enough, for how well coached I think they are, they play one-on-one basketball and just do pull-up shots at the end of the shot clock, and it just blows my mind.
It's terrible.
And that's, you know, it's going to cause two things, because their defense is so good, they're going to be able to beat bad teams, but they never blow teams out. And that's an issue in the NCAA tournament is, you want to feel good about
you need to feel good about a win.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not going to happen, and that's what happened against UNC Wilmington is, you know, their inability to put that ball through the hoop.
It was absolutely apparent, too, and it was tough to watch, especially since Virginia, unfortunately, is a Sweet 16 team of mine on my bracket. And why I have them there, though, is another reason I'm upset. So we know that I picked Maryland. We know that I tried picking Bucknell. And for some reason, I thought I was like the Seth Davis or who.
Which I don't believe these guys know anything, just so we're all clear.
Hey, and Seth Davis, if you listen to the show and you're one of those high national media people, I still love you. This is Roz and Witz's show, but we got Mike here.
Just like Chuck Barkley knows a lot about college basketball.
Yeah, they put him on all the CBS shows. It's kind of ridiculous. But hey, Charles, again, if you want to come to the show, totally appreciate you and we love you. But Mike's a critic, so just take that and you'll grow from it. But I tried being cool. I tried being a good guy. I tried being like, hey, I'm going to pick all the upsets I can pick. and I tried again with East Tennessee State University. I was told that with Florida Center being out for the rest of the year, that their depth down low wasn't great. And to be honest, it was a 33-32 game going into the half. So East Tennessee, they came out obviously cocky in a sense. With if you guys caught their dunk video, if you haven't, just go to YouTube and search East Tennessee like warm up dunk contest. Basically, it was a contest. So I felt good. I felt good going into the half, but they absolutely got blown out. Lost by almost 20 points. And that was another non-upset pick by me, which is upsetting, and led to my 13-16 Thursday. So, Mike, me and you, we're not keen on the SEC. We don't think they're fantastic. We know who Kentucky is. Outside of that, we're happy that Northwestern beat Vanderbilt. But what do you have to say? Did you find anything interesting about this Florida or East Tennessee State game?
Not really. I think it happened exactly how it was. I don't think Florida is that good. And with their center going down and East Tennessee State, that transfer from Indiana, Mascara, he is their best player.
Pereira, baby.
And shout out Tom Crean firing from Indiana.
There's a little Indiana connection right there.
And so, you know, they were able to sway a little bit inside of Florida, but, you know, at half, you know, you can keep it close at half. In the second half, you start to get blown out when you aren't as good as the other team.
Absolutely. And so that leads us to this matchup, this 4-5 matchup. A lot of chalk. I mentioned that earlier in the show. Chalk is winning out right now. So, Mike, it's a 1-point, Florida's a 1-point favorite. An odd little spread right here. Virginia plus one is where I'm going. What about you?
Gotta go Virginia, and I hate to see this because they can't put that ball through the hoop.
But is this our ACC over SEC bias?
No, I think it's just I love that Virginia defense, and I don't think Florida really plays. To beat a Virginia defense, it's ball movement, and it's not about one-on-one. I think Florida does a lot of that. It's about moving that ball quickly and not, you know, making Virginia rotate on their switches and everything, and that's what Florida can't do.
Absolutely.
And they'll Virginia will be able to score enough points, I guess. Hopefully 57 will be enough in this game.
Perfect. And now we're here, the moment of the hour. Mike Surface is here. He was born in Indiana, absolutely, right?
Lafayette, baby.
Lafayette, Indiana. He's a Chicago guy now. He's working in Cincinnati after he graduates here from the University of Dayton. But there's nothing in the world that means more to him, maybe his family, but that's in question too, than Purdue basketball. And Purdue basketball is going to be playing Iowa State here on Saturday. They got the late game, so if you ask Surface, he's one of the most upset people in the world. 9:40. I mean, how drunk could we possibly be by 9:40? And that's not saying we drink. It's just drunk with fun basketball stuff. But anyways,
also like to go to bed early, so I don't know how I'm going to stay up to
He likes to go to bed early. That's a big thing. That's actually true. During the week, we'll see him in bed at 8:30. So 9:40 is the late game. Purdue played Vermont. Iowa State, they got Nevada. The better of Nevada. So let's talk about Purdue here. That Vermont game. I mean, I'm sitting on my seat scared because I put them in my Final Four because of you, buddy. And I'm sitting scared, but Biggie Swanigan looked fantastic in the post. And I think if they keep going that way, that team's dangerous. I don't know who's going to match up in the post.
And
now
see,
give me some.
I love getting the ball down to Caleb Swanigan, National Player of the Year candidate, Big Ten Player of the Year. And what he's gotten, the thing that's really improved in his game is passing. Because now when the double comes in this Vermont game, I think he had 4 assists in the game, but I'd say he had 7 pass outs that were one away from assists that went to the next guy because double comes instead of trying to bash through him or make a turnover, he's putting that perfect pass on the perimeter guy, and then when maybe they shoot the 3, which we are 40% for 3-point shooting team, or they one more pass and get a layup, and I just think that is going to be key, especially against Iowa State.
Absolutely, and they held their own against Vermont. So I thought that was a great win. And Biggie Swanigan actually put up 5 assists in that game as well. He had the double-double, which we're all expecting and everything. But he also had the 5 assists. So like Mike said, you got to stay keen when you're watching this Purdue team because Swanigan really dictates these kind of games. I know Vince Edwards really came on in the second half. He looked fantastic. And start the second half, he was like, wow, I'm just way better than the person who's defending me right now.
Straight up, he just took him to the hole every single time he touched the ball. It was a little ridiculous.
It was pretty ridiculous. And like Mike said, they can shoot the 3. They look fantastic. And we're going to come back to Purdue here in a second. I got to ask Mike. He watched the game in scouting purposes. So Iowa State, Nevada wasn't really much of a game. Iowa State really held their own throughout, and Iowa State won the Big 12 championship. I hate the Big 12, so you can rip them if you want, or you can tell me how good they are, but you know that Purdue's going to come out on top. Give me a little synopsis, quick one. Give me like a five-second synopsis on that.
Team of runs, they shoot about 33s a game, team of runs. They're going to go 4 for 4, and then they'll go stretch of 0-10, shooting threes straight up.
Hey, have I not said that repeatedly on the show, everybody? The Big 12 can't shoot, and in fact, I think Iowa State's the best of the Big 12 teams that can shoot. But it's poor. So, Mike, we're coming here to the end of the show. Purdue, Iowa State, they're even right now.
That is a joke. Bookmakers do not know what they're talking about. Hammer Purdue. Absolutely hammer them.
Mike is super excited for Purdue. We're all going to root for Purdue. They're my Final Four team. They're even. Mike, there's no bigger lock than maybe that Arizona game today than this even Purdue. I'm hammering Purdue all the way. Purdue's going to win. They're going to get us to the Final Four, everybody. Mike, thank you so much for joining us this week here on the Sporting Edge. I'm super excited that he's going to be back next week as well, but that's all the time we have this week. Witz will be back next week. He won't be hungover anymore from Fort Lauderdale. You know where to find us at libertytalk.fm. This is the Sporting Edge. Thank you, everybody. Reach out to us. Nice little follow. Hey, and Joe McFadden, thanks for the plane ride.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.